It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Woo. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Woo. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 112, Butterfly. This is your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I'm so glad that you tuned in this week to the Purple Pants Podcast. If you're not already, please make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. We are there. Write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars, and hit that subscribe button. Now, what's going on, Purple Pants Posse? How is everyone doing? Okay. Listen, we in October. Can you believe it? We are in October already. And you know, every month, you know, I always like to post a Zaddy calendar, a hot girl calendar photo. And you know, over the weekend, I really got emotional because it was October and Sunday Request is Miss October. And it really just kind of like sunk into me that she is no longer in the physical form with us. And so I just, you know, tweeted it out, and the response that everyone got, you know, people were saying such nice things about her. And, you know, she was the ultimate survivor. And, you know, when I reached out to her to be in the Hot Girl Summer calendar, she was like, me? You want me? I'm like, oh my God, Sunday would be such an honor. And I'm just so glad that, you know, when I think about I do the calendars and I do all of this stuff, there's a lasting effect. And for me, like, I'm literally getting goosebumps talking about this. But like, for me, it's Sunday will be forever our Miss October. And it's just so good to have that remembrance of her. So, you know, shout out to Sunday. You are not here in the physical form, but we know your spirit is still strong. Yeah, so I had somewhat of a busy weekend. You know, the weather is changing. It's warm during the day, and then at night it gets really cold. And I've created this outdoor oasis for myself on my backyard. But I'm like, you know what? I don't want my plants to die. Now, if y'all remember with the G-Nats, I put a lot of my plants outside, and they seem to like, maybe the G-Nats, they don't like outside. So I had to like unhook all of these plants that I hung, and I like brought them in. But I'm like, oh my God, I need to make space. So then it kind of sort of turned into a fall cleaning, getting rid of stuff, getting, making room for space. And I don't know if you guys are like me, but when I start to do something, I get really dedicated. Like you know, the plan was just to make room in my living room and in my dining room. But then when I started moving plants around, then I'm like, you know what? I need to like rearrange my couch a little bit. Then I move my couch and there's all this stuff behind my couch. I'm like, why is this stuff here? So then it really just turned into a full mode, not spring, but fall cleaning. Cause listen, we getting ready. We entering in fall like butterflies. Okay. Listen, we are a butterfly now. We might be going into our cocoon this fall and winter, but just know we are going into that cocoon so that we can blossom and form into a beautiful self, beautiful form of ourself. Okay. Which is why I entitled this episode Butterfly. Okay. I may, you know, they could remind you of dead relatives in butterfly form. Okay. Xander. But listen, I'm really excited for this week's episode. So let me just stop jibba jabbing and give y'all the rundown. So this week we got the church announcements, and on the menu this week, we welcome back Ghost Island winner Wendell Holland, and we break down the Survivor news. And you already know it's a Real Housewife of Potomac week, so my Kagian sister and House Hunter star Jatia Hart Taylor is giving us the rundown on the last 2 episodes of Real Housewives of Potomac. And Bay Bay, if y'all not been catching up, it is getting juicy. And then we got the freak of the week. So listen, let's get this party started. Oh, come on. Yes, let's get into these church announcements. And we are on to this week's church announcement. Listen, church,
Okay, I got three church announcements for you guys this week. My first church announcement is, bang, bang, listen, my friends over at CBS Survivor, they done reached out to your baby boy. They said, baby boy, you know season 43 and 44 is coming up. And listen, we need an amazing cast, okay? We got some tapes, but listen, we need amazingness. So they said, can you spread the word? I said, listen, I'll spread the word if I could submit a tape myself. So listen, guys, I know a lot of you that listen want to be on Survivor. And you're like, oh, my God, how can I be on Survivor? It's simple. Go to CBS.com, click on the Survivor page, and click on the casting. And listen, submit a video. It is so important for you to submit a video. I can't tell you how much importance that is. And they watch every video. Like I told you in my Survivor story, I literally sent in a 45, 10, 15 second clip and they called me back from that. So if you guys are interested, listen, okay, word on the street is they are casting for season 43 and 44. So go over there to Survivor CBS. SurvivorCasting.com and submit your tape, okay? And then listen, when you on the next couple of seasons of Survivor, listen, I'm going to talk about you on the podcast. The next church announcement, I want to let y'all know that Zaddy Calendars is going like hotcakes. They're going like hotcakes over the weekend while I was spring cleaning, okay, and watching the Squid Game. Listen, y'all had baby boy not getting no sleep because I was up watching the Squid Game. Okay, shout out to Lady Booker 12484 on the Twitter. She tweeted me like a week ago and said, baby boy, you need to watch it. And listen, I was hooked. But in the meantime of cleaning my house, bringing the plants in, I fulfill all of the Zaddy calendar orders. So listen, you should have got your tracking number. But I'm telling you, they're going like hotcakes. Don't wait till the holiday season to get it because it might be gone. It's a limited edition this year. So make sure you guys get your Bryce Isaiah 2022 Zaddy calendars. Click the link in my bio on Twitter and the Instagram. Okay, Shopify Bryce Isaiah. And listen, bless your life, bless your 2022. Okay, when you come out that cocoon as a beautiful butterfly, listen, have you a Zaddy to look at? And on the last church announcement, I was just, you know, perusing the Instagram and you know how you could say socks and all of a sudden they keep showing you socks. Well, I was like talking to myself, which I do a lot. If you listen to the podcast, then you know. And I was like thinking, what should I name this episode? And butterfly came to my mind. And while I was perusing the internet, I stumbled across this poem. And I really just, you know, it kind of like reminded me a lot. And I just wanted to share it with the posse, okay? I don't know who needs to hear this, a.k.a. Allie Lasher, and myself. But it goes, we delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty. From Maya Angelou. And I just want to share with you guys that with the seasons literally and physically changing, you know, with your life changing, sometimes we don't take a look at how we got to where we are. And we all are on a road to a better us. And sometimes we get to that beautiful butterfly stage and we don't even realize it. We can't even appreciate us being in the cocoon, working for our goals to graduate, working on that goal of a relationship, working on that goal to mother or fatherhood. And, you know, it's a process. And I think that we all look at the glitz and glamour. Oh, my God, look at that beautiful butterfly. But listen, it started with that caterpillar. So I just want to encourage somebody to trust the process and congratulate yourself along the way because you are in that metamorphosis to turn into the butterfly of you.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
Your mug, you make me uncomfortable, thug. Go that
way. Oh, that's how we start. That's how we starting the Survivor news off with you rapping. You can't rap.
Whoa. Calm it down. Yes, I can. I got bars.
You can't rap.
Grown man bars. We out here.
It's giving not what it was supposed to give. We are back this week, minus Wendell rapping because he can't, and we already know what you looking for. I got that heat. I got that smoke. What you looking for? Okay. And what we looking for is idols this week. We are back with another week of Survivor News here on the Purple Pants Podcast. I am excited that I got my good brother, Wendeezy Holland, in the building. Okay. Woo!
Wait, I'm in another room. I don't have my my bell. I'm gonna run and get it.
No, the podcast is going. You can't run and get it.
I'm gonna go get it.
Y'all see what I had to deal with, Purple Pants Posse? Like, it just don't make sense. It just doesn't.
I'm back.
Also, I wanted to tell you, Rob texted me this week and was like, what is Wendell doing with a bell?
That's what you get. All right. We got the bell situated right here. It needs to be close to the mic. Let's go.
So we're back. Is this episode two or technically episode three?
We say in episode two.
See, I like it to be episode three because, you know,
I know exactly why.
You know, then it's like you had 1, 2, 3 episodes. Not if it's a 2-hour premiere and you go home on the second episode. But what do I know? So break it down to us. What's going on in Survivor this week, Wendeezy?
Yes. Another fun episode, if you ask me. We start out on the Green Tribe. And we start out with Brad running around because he sees JD and Ricard walking to get water. And according to Brad, you don't need two people to get water or whatever he said. So he decides to pull a Tony and sprints down to the beach around and nestles himself, hunkers down into some leaves and whatnot to spy on our guys, JD and Ricard.
Not nestle himself. I thought it was interesting because I thought, Brad, you're doing too much, baby boy. Just a little too much. And it really gives us a sense that, like, Brad doesn't really have a great sense of the game because, I mean, as viewers watching, we saw JD under attack, essentially, at Tribal. And like I had said last episode, I don't ever think that JD was questioning Brad's loyalty. I think that he was questioning Ricard, Shani, and Sarah. And so again, Brad does not have a great read because then he comes back and he's like, I don't know if I can trust JD. Last night at Tribal. And then, you know, he sprints over and, you know, I was cracking up because he was like, all I can hear is them saying he, and it's only three guys in the tribe, and if two of them at the well, then I must be the he. But what took me out was when baby boy ran back to the beach before they would get there, and it was cracking me up because he told Shan, he's like, yeah, they're at the well talking about me. And Shan was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And her confessional, she's like, if he'll spy on them, what makes me think he won't spy on me?
Yeah, so he came back and gave her something, and she was like, I don't know if I can now trust this guy. So he kind of showed his behind a little bit in doing that. And I don't know. I don't think it was necessary, but Brad seems like a very straight shooting kind of guy because we saw in episode one how he literally told people that he was voting for that he was voting for them. So like, yeah, I don't know. I'm questioning Brad's survivor savvy right now.
Right. And I think it's more of a social game. I feel like Brad works on the farm. We know, seeing Brad's backstory, he worked on a farm with his dad, and I believe his dad had recently passed away right before he went on Survivor. So I'm just thinking that, like, he might not have the social awareness in the sense he's isolated, he worked by himself, and so, like, you know, his word is his word. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, he's somebody that you would definitely want to make an alliance with in the sense of, I feel like he would be very trustworthy. However, I don't think that he really gets the dynamics of the social aspect of it, which could be a huge downfall.
Now, how far do you see a Brad going in the game?
I see a Brad making the merge.
Yeah. So if they were to go to Tribal again, which I question they would because This yellow Yasa tribe is turning into kind of a hot mess. It's turning into kind of a hot mess of a tribe. But if Uwa, the green tribe, was to go to tribal, I think Brad is a loyal number. Then we also have Genie, we have JD, we have Ricard, and we have Shan. Brad is such a loyal guy, it seems, that anyone could kind of give him his marching orders and he'd go with that. Like, kind of like when I was on Ghost Island with Angela, she was a loyal person and you'd basically give her marching orders and she's voting with you. So, right. Yeah, I think I could see Brad getting past the merge.
Yeah, and the only reason why I, from the three episodes, because I'm saying it's three, I don't care.
Oh, goodness.
From the three episodes that I get from Brad is that I don't know if we're talking Survivor resume. I don't know if he'll be able to build a big enough resume.
I agree with you on that.
Okay.
I had to use it. Had to get it warmed up a little bit.
Annoying. Another thing that what I loved about this green tribe was, again, Survivor in the editing. For me, it's the personalization that we're seeing something that we haven't really seen since like the very early on of Survivor, is that we are getting to get to know the people, and not only know the people by their story, we're getting sound bites, we're getting videos, we're getting photos, and mm-hmm. It really touched me with Ricard talking about why he wants $1 million. You know, he's got a young family at home, his husband is pregnant, and I love the fact that, you know, we get to see the different dynamics of like an LGBTQ plus family, and you know, he's with a trans man, and you know, it's not oftentimes normalized. So I love that Ricard is bringing this other dimension to Survivor. And it's not just about like the game Survivor. For me, it's really about, you know, getting to see other people and how they live their lives. I love it. You know, I'm always here for the representation. Now, mind you, okay, Ricard a little shady, but I ain't mad at it. He's just the type of shady that I like. And I feel like on this episode, he alluded to the fact, that Shan is his closest ally, because mm-hmm. Shan went right to Ricard and told Ricard that Brad was trying to create a Tony Spy Shack 2.0. So, you know, Ricard is able to get these relationships with Shan. I'm pretty sure he might be close with Genie. I don't know. So I'm really loving Ricard thus far.
Yeah, I like him too. And one thing to just add about the representation on this season, you have, I love that there is a good LGBTQ just representation on the season. Like you said, Ricard's husband was pregnant. So Ricard's husband is a trans man who had a baby previously, right? So or if you could help me unpack that, but I just, because it's something that I haven't sat and thought about for a while, it's like, wow, I can see this totally different person and understand a little bit more, or learn a little bit more about that community.
Right. And it has nothing really to do with Survivor. It's just about the awareness and the fact that Ricard is there telling his story. It's what I love so much about it. And, you know, it gets people curious. And, you know, when you're curious, educate yourself, Google, figure stuff out. And so that's, again, what I just love about the representation. And of course, we've got the people of color, but there is so much representation in the LGBTQ plus community on this season. I love it.
And if I could just add one more bit to that. And what I think is really cool is, and I don't want to stay on that come on in guys topic, but I think that it really shows that community, the LGBTQ community, is not a monolith, because the first person to say that they were fine with the guys statement was Evie, who was in that community.
Right.
And then Ricard came back and said he wasn't fine with the statement. So it shows that they can be, they can both be in this community, but just as we Americans have different perspectives on things, the two of them have had different perspectives on things.
Absolutely. And it's all about being respectful. And, you know, Ricard said that it bothered him, so they stopped. You know what I'm saying? And like, I just love the fact that it was received well, not on the Twitters or the Instanet, but, right, you know, in real life. But yes, back to the game.
Yes.
So we didn't got the Green Tribe. And I mean, what I loved about this episode was it wasn't a 2-hour episode.
You love that?
I did love it because I felt like it was a lot, especially with these twists. I had to do my homework. I got to remember stuff now. Okay.
Now, that's real. We jump over. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me shut up.
Yeah, shut your mouth. So we jump over to Leewu, the blue tribe, and we see our buddy Deshaun. He's not able to make fire. He's trying. Okay. He said back home, it took him and his people like 13 hours to make fire. But then our boy Nasir,
who
in the first episode, he looked a little, he looked like he might be on the chopping block or whatever. But it seems like in the second episode, he's getting his footing. He makes the fire. They flash back to his, Sri Lankan town, and they show it's almost like a small village. They show an outhouse, and he's like, man, I'm used to being out there in the elements. I can make fire like it's nothing, even without flint. He said, then we see him getting throwing a piece of wood up at the breadfruit and knocking that down. This man, can survive.
And another thing about that was when Deshaun was making the fire, Nasir didn't run up and be like, because mind you, this is something I would have do. I would have been like, get in here, Deshaun. Let me do it.
Good move.
And I was like, oh, okay. Deshaun, although in the first episode, he might have been a little antsy going around spilling the tea. He really kind of like, and it is moves like that that I believe at camp really go a long way, because if he would have got up and like overshown that to Deshaun, it could have put a bad taste in Deshaun's mouth. However, he sat there, let him try for 45 minutes. Then he got up there and lit the flint and had fire. But, you know, I think what a lot of people don't understand, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit because you had a little bit more time on the island. But listen, for the 11 short days that I was on the Cagayan beach, what surprised me was how much downtime we have. And I know it's a shorter game, but it's still a lot of downtime when you get up with the sun and go to bed with the sun. And a lot of your tribe people can get on your nerves. It's like the little things that they do. And so sometimes that can like ultimately like change your reason of why, like literally like, do I want to get Wendell out because every morning his breath stink and I'm tired of smelling his breath every morning? Like, you know, stuff like that can really, you know, don't do that. But it can really kind of harp on you. So I think that was such a smart move of Nasir not to kind of like overshadow Deshaun and really give him a tribe. But I think, I'm not sure who was on the tribe. The other girl in the tribe, basically in her confessional, was like, it's very clear Nasir is essential to this tribe. Like, we wouldn't be able to function without him.
So that was Sydney, I believe.
Shout out to Sid. Now, it also puts a huge target on his back too, because, you know, if you're so essential, then people are, you know, automatically thinking like, well, could I beat him in the end? Although, you know, you got to get to the end, but still like this is Survivor. It's 26 days now. Like, you know, all of this is in play.
Yeah. So yeah. Nasir, he started off kind of snitching episode one.
Ooh.
So now episode two, he's kind of trying to fit in a little bit. But again, he made fire like it was nothing. That does, like you said, that does kind of make you think, hey, if it comes down to final four, this is somebody that I can't beat. So something definitely for them all to consider. We also learned that Deshaun is a med student.
Yes.
Amazing, man. I love it. I didn't do my research. And to hear that, I'm like, man, it's good seeing his brother out here. He's great at puzzles. He's very social. Like, I'd love to see his path this season. I want to see him go real far.
For me, what I loved is the backstory about Deshaun. And I want to know, and I'm going to have to reach out to Deshaun after the season over to figure this out. There was when Deshaun was telling his like story about his family, it was like this dad was like, one more, I don't know if he was like, one more time or something, but it was like, I was like, is that Deshaun dad is doing this overloop? Or did they just get some random person to like say that? But I would think that it's his dad that was saying the overloop. The three, I don't know what
he said. I got you. Deshaun said, I stick to the three D's, discipline, dedication, determination. And then all of a sudden you hear that voice,
right?
You hear that father voice. Remember them three D's.
Yes. Remember them three D's. Listen. Okay. Purple Pants Posse. I stick to the three D's too. Okay.
Out of here. I'm gone. Okay. I heard senior in that voice. I just heard that's that black father, man. That's right. like telling you. And, so it was good to hear that too, man. I really like that. And I like that Deshaun spoke about his father, you know, and instilling those three values in him.
Yes.
So if we can just move on a little bit.
Okay.
All right, so we covered Ua and Levu. Then we jump over to Yasa, the Yellow Tribe.
Woo!
And we start off. Well, that's the hot mess tribe, I'm telling you. We start off with Xander. He's wondering where Voce is. And he asks Liana. And then they're basically like, well, it's just the two of us. We need to split up and go look for something. Or we need to split up and go look. So Xander takes a little stroll. And the music starts, you know, ramping up a little bit. We see some B-roll of a spider and of a snake. And, you know, I think we know what's coming. Xander finds the beware advantage.
Oh,
yes. And this advantage is, you know, it says beware advantage on it. And we've seen some kind of advantages that have kind of bit you on the butt a little bit in the past.
Oh.
Or things that we...
Right. Sorry. I was thinking about the 3Ds, not the 3Ds. Okay.
5, 4, 3. So we see this advantage and it's like, okay, this can go one of two ways, or it can be something that is helpful and hurtful. So Xander opens up the beware advantage and it's a three-way shared immunity where you have to announce a secret phrase. we'll get to the phrases. You have to announce a secret phrase at the next immunity challenge. And if the people from the other islands have found theirs and they respond with their secret phrase, then your idols become powerful. Then they get their power. So,
but
go ahead.
Okay, because I took my notes this time too. If you the beware part is that until the now this is was my question. Okay, here I go. How about to explain something? But then I got a question. Okay, welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast. So you don't have a vote until the idol is activated. Mm. Now my question was, can it be activated with two people, or you have to get all three people?
My answer is you need all three people. And my question is this.
Keep it. Shit. I don't want it. Okay.
That's a lot. That's a lot, right? And so you have to say this, this pronouncement at when you get to the challenge. So, let's see what else I have. Okay. We have a few different secret phrases. We have the secret phrase that Xander found is, and I quote, I truly believe that butterflies are dead relatives saying hi. So that's one phrase that has to be announced in front of everyone. The second phrase is, I'm as confused as a goat on an astroturf. Now that, I feel like that can be, I feel like a sentence, like saying that you're super confused can kind of be slid in there when Jeff is talking to you at the beginning of a challenge.
True. I also, read the third one.
Okay. The third one is.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. Wait. Say it in a seductive voice.
In a seductive voice.
Hold on. I don't even know why I'm laughing. Hold on. Wait. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. The third way to achieve the shared immunity. I don't know if this is.
Yeah, that it's not giving seductive.
It's not giving seductive. Okay. Well, I'm going to keep it going. Is. I didn't realize this until now, that broccoli are just a bunch of small trees. Broccoli's just a bunch of, I mean, that's kind of true. Broccoli looks like small trees, but that's something that someone has to announce in front of everybody before A Challenge Begins.
Yeah, that one was the worst one. I think the way Xander did it was great. You know, he basically was like, he's tired. Or I forget how he like suaved it in there. It was weird, but he did it.
Yeah, it was kind of like, it was kind of like he's exhausted. He's like kind of like losing it. And this is what he, and this is the ramblings that come out of his mouth.
Right. So I was worried about how he would do it. I think we need to point out the fact that, I know Xander, through the baby boy, Jack, Atkins from the Circle. They are fraternity brothers.
Shout out Jack Atkins.
Okay. Shout out to the Zans. And so, I knew little bit of Xander before he went out on Survivor, and Xander is the nicest person ever. Okay. And I when I met him, I was like, oh, okay. But it's funny to see it on Survivor because I'm like, baby boy, what is you doing? So I understand that he feels as though Evie is his close alliance. However, in my mind, I feel like it should be Volche because y'all just did the water challenge together. So I just feel like that should be your closest alliance. But he finds the idol, and this is what I couldn't figure out, because when you watch the episode, he turn around and then there is Evie, and who was with Evie? Was it Volche?
Volche, yeah. He tells them all. Yeah.
It's hard to see if whether or not he was in the predicament where the only option really was to tell them because they just pulled right up on him. But I would like, if I were him, I would have just told them that I got an idol. I would have not read everything out to them, let them read it and touch it, because ultimately it backfires. And it backfires in the form of who I'd like to nominate as the player of the week this week is Evie.
Okay. All right. Are you ready to explain why, or should we continue to unpack this decision of Xander's to just share this with people? But that, I feel like that's the same Xander that we saw last week where he went off to the island of extra votes or whatever we want to call it. And where he received his extra vote. Didn't he tell the people about that, about his journey out there and what happened out there?
Well, right. Everyone did. Like, you would have to tell them something. You can't come back and be like, nothing. I was just chilling.
Right.
Like,
well, I say that to say that he's spilled the beans already, and now he's continuing to almost overshare. So, yeah, he's a super nice guy. But man,
I disagree. I don't feel like I don't feel like in that particular moment he overshared with telling them about the going up and what happened, because you have to tell them. I feel like he's being a little bit, love you, Xander, but a pushover. Because if you remember, he didn't even want to go to the island. Mm-hmm. They were just like, Xander's kind of like the most trustworthy person, so we'll just send him. He like went on and did it. I feel like with this, he offered up that information to them thinking that they were like close. Yeah. But, you know, the one thing that I have learned from my 11 days is that, listen, you have to play a game of one on Survivor. Like, you can have your allies, but like, if you the only one that's bringing something to the Pollyanna, to the potluck dinner, like, you know, everybody needs to bring something. Yeah. And I just feel like that was, I was not happy with that decision on Xander.
And he shared it with Evie, who shared it with Leanna and Tiffany.
Okay.
So, yeah, now everybody knows about your little secret. And further, these people that you didn't share it with understand who you're super close with and who you aren't close with them. Right. So, yeah, so that's a... It's tricky.
Yeah. And Evie shared the phrases. So now if they are at tribal or they're at the immunity challenges and someone says the phrase, then it automatically puts a target on their back. Mm-hmm. So Evie is really loading her alliance up, like with information. And I've heard a person or two say this before, but in the game, information is power.
Certainly. Now, and she's using information as currency because she goes to...
This is the challenge. Get to the challenge.
Okay,
first.
Let's talk about the challenge. So we get to the water challenge. Xander says his quote And I love how they didn't have to edit it crazy, because if someone says something so outlandish as I truly believe that butterflies are dead relatives saying
but see,
hi.
If I were on another tribe, though, I would be like, I get him. Like, I would be like, me and him connect. Like, I would be like, I get it. You know, on my season, okay? You know, on my season, I was a caterpillar, okay? Oh, and I was in a butterfly effect stage of my life. So I would get, like, literally in my head, I'd be like, ooh, I like him.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't see any Bryce Isaiahs out there this season. So Xander says his quote, and they flashed everyone with the most confused looks. They got my buddy Danny's kind of like smiling weirdly. They all start kind of like giggling, and then it just continues. And it was a funny bit. And because he was saying it to try to get someone else to say their quote. Obviously, no one found anything because nobody else said their quote.
Okay. But it was Xander looking around, though, for me. When Xander, after he said it and like looked around.
Yeah, he was waiting and he was baiting them. And I got a question for you, Bryce.
So, okay, because then I got another question.
Okay. So my first question is, if does, and I don't know if we have the answer to this, does Xander have to continually repeat this at every competition? Or now that his sentence is out there, he just has to wait to hear other sentences.
So my question to you is, say if I had the idol and you are Xander and you said the butterfly thing, do I then have to say my statement? That's like, how do we, like, that was my question. Like, how do we activate it? Do I then have to say the same statement, or do I have to be like, oh, I agree with you?
No. I think the three statements have to be proclaimed. But so, in other words, if you heard Xander say it,
right,
at some point in that challenge, you have to say it as well.
I have to say the same one, or I have to say it different.
You say your statement. You say the broccoli looks like little trees, or, you know, you say whatever statement that you found.
Because I'd have been like, you know what, Jeff, I agree with him. I've been so confused. Last night I was thinking about broccoli and, you know, they really are just little trees.
So I think that would be a great way to do it. My other question is, if you're Xander, now that you've said it once and you got people thinking you're a little strange, do you now just, instead of going to the challenge and just announcing it, do you just wait? And if someone makes one of these announcements, you can then either make yours or wait to hear another one. So if I'm Xander, every other challenge I go to, I'm just going to wait and listen. If I hear it from two people, if I hear these two people say it, then I will say it. But I'm not going to be the first one to offer it up anymore.
But see, this is my thing, though, because, you know, I'll be sneaky. So basically, until this thing is ignited, Xander doesn't have a vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we about to get into the hypothesis. But tell me, this is how my brain thinks about Survivor now. So say if Evie shared that information with me, and I go to tribal or immunity, I don't have the idol, but I say the statement to make Xander think that it's initiated. And to think that he had, like, you know what I'm like? That, like, that's where I, like, I'm getting real freaky dinky with it.
You are. Bryce Isaiah with a hot take, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, my
question to that is, once it's initiated, do you get some kind of tangible?
I'm sure you probably get like a little parchment or something. So like,
you need to make a fake. If you're Evie, you go next level. You share this information with someone on the other tribe and they make the announcement, but you have to couple that with some kind of fake idol.
Then you would have to run up and put the fake idol. But no, the plan wouldn't work because they be getting a paper when they go to vote. So what you like when you going up to vote, I'm going to run and be like, ooh, excuse me real quick, Wendell. And then go back to my seat. Jeff would be like, what the hell?
No, there have been times when things appear in people's bags.
Maybe once
these announcements are made, this thing just appears in Xander's bag at one point in time when he's back at his original island. And then, you know, but that's getting next level because Evie would have to communicate with people on both of the other tribes. And
Or yeah. What's the game called? Pass It Down the Lane?
Whisper.
Whisper Down the Lane.
Or Telephone or one of those. Yeah.
So we're back at the challenge.
Yes. So we're at the water challenge.
Boop.
How would you do in a water challenge?
I would do great. My dive would not be that great. I would just jump in. My dive wouldn't be on the level of Brad. My dive wouldn't be on the level of Xander. My dive wouldn't be on the level. My dive would probably be on the level of Shanny. Okay.
Shan was doing something with her arms before she, I think she practiced her dive. Shan was doing her thing. But, so in this challenge, the first two tribes are immune, which is always it's a good thing when you're out there because you have more shields. And so, of course, the blue tribe, they get out there and do their thing. That's Luvu, right?
Yes.
Now, the green tribe, they get out there and do well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But our hot mess tribe, what happens? How do they get so far behind and when is it out of reach? Because doesn't Xander start off and he's swimming strong, right?
Xander starts off, he killing it, boom, 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 okay? Mm-hmm. He decided not to, this is another thing. Nobody ran across the beam. Everybody was like, yeah, Scrutin, okay? Only person that ran across the beam, okay, was Shanny. She ran across the beam like Jesus walking on water. Come on, can I get an amen?
Wait a minute, did she did Liana? Because Liana was looking like a beast out there too.
Maybe it was Liana, my bad.
But
maybe
her tribe was just so far behind.
Bro, right, her tribe was so far behind. Xander went, killed it. Mm-hmm. Then it got to Heather. And mm-hmm. Heather struggled from the beginning.
Tiffany. Yeah.
She struggled from the beginning. And at one point, it appeared that she kind of sort of gave up. And I just, in my head, was thinking like, did Abraham tell y'all? Did Abraham tell y'all? Y'all? Did Abraham tell y'all? Did Abraham tell y'all?
Did Abraham tell y'all?
What Abraham say? What Abraham say?
Keep the tribe strong.
What Abraham say? But anyway,
I'm strong.
Oh. Okay, so whether or not it was right or wrong, he went about it the wrong way. And so Heather is really showing, Heather, Tiffany. Tiffany is really showing us that she physically, she might be the weakest link. And it took her forever to get across. Yeah. And
Probst was even yelling at her.
Right.
Probst was in Probst form. Yasa has been a disaster this entire season. Like, bruh, this season is, we're a couple days in. So like, we're two episodes in.
Right.
But Probst was letting him know. He said, he was like, let's go, Tiffany, screaming at her because, yeah, she was taking a while on that balance beam and it seemed like the other two tribes were dusting them.
They were. And then, in the words of Jeff Probst, she dig deep and she got across. Mm-hmm. Then my homegirl, what's her name?
Who, Liana?
Liana killed and beasted. Boom, boom, boom. We get to the... It's a puzzle that they have to put together.
Mm-hmm. A turtle.
A turtle. Oh, you know, okay. I was happy. Shout out to Kimmy. And not for nothing, the Green Tribe kind of sort of was doing their thing a little bit.
A little bit. Blue Tribe is just on point. Like, they're all good. They're B-set challenges, B-set puzzles, right? The Green Tribe, it seemed like they were doing well, but at some point, some things had to be reshuffled a little bit, but they were solid and they had that time advantage on their side. So when the Yellow Tribe, Hot Mess Yasa, pulled up finally at the puzzle, it was just too late for them.
Right. And unfortunately, the Green Tribe lost. Shout out to who won the blue did, Deshaun. Shout out to Deshaun. Mm-hmm. And then we find out that the blue and the, is it blue and yellow?
Blue and
green.
No, blue and yellow.
Blue and yellow have to send a member of their tribe to, I don't know. What's the name? What are we going to call this island? Take a vote island. Okay. I don't know.
So it's, well, you have to make a choice out there. And you usually get an extra vote.
Okay, so
Extra Vote Island.
Extra Vote Island. That's not that clever, but okay, we'll go with that. Extra Vote Island. So it is Evie and Deshaun. And baby, when I say Evie was on her, like, I felt like Evie was running, like, for mayor of Extra Vote Island, because the way that she was playing Deshaun, and not really playing it, but like, you know, like you said, information is power, and Evie was absolutely using information as currency. She knew about the vote, and so she shared it with Deshaun. And what does it have to do with her? It only puts a target on Xander's back, and she's spilling all of the beans to Deshaun. So,
so on the walk up, she's saying, hey, look, I'm willing to forego. What's the terminology they use? She's basically saying, I'm not going to risk
my vote. She's
going
to play it safe. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, and that means you can risk your vote, and that means you get an extra vote. So she's basically giving him something on the way up because she knew what was on the back end. And also because they're about to go to tribal council. So she needs to hold her vote. So, but she also says, what did she said that Xander has the
beware
matured,
idol.
Yes, right. Beware advantage that hasn't matured, and he has to announce these things, and other people have to announce these things as well. Right.
Right. And yeah. And so, and Evie at first was concerned the fact that she was even like leaving her tribe right before tribal. And so Deshaun chooses to risk it. Evie plays it safe. They get back. And I was really having a Sarah Lucina moment. Evie was reminding me of Sarah Lucina, Kagyan. Right at that merge vote where Sarah felt as though the vote, the decision was in her hands and she had all the power, and she ended up going home. I don't know. Evie just reminded me of that a little bit when she knew, when she got back, the girls were basically saying Xander without like question. And like, you know, she really had all of this power. She's connecting with Deshaun on the other tribe. She still is making Xander feel like he is with her. She's got the girls. So I don't know. It just reminded me of Sarah Lucina. And so
I got a question about Evie.
Okay.
Do you think that she overshared when she was on the Extra Vote Island with Deshaun?
Because
she gave him all the info, right? Like, was there anything that she withheld?
No. And
so
I think
she overshared.
So here's the thing. If I am Deshaun, no, you did not overshare. However, if I'm Deshaun, it does lead me to believe, like, I don't know. And I guess this is like my issue with Survivor and maybe why I didn't do too well on it. But like,
say it again for the people in the back.
Listen, don't do that. Because it's like, you want to find somebody and you want to like share information, but I do feel like it should be a gradual thing. Like, let's barter trust. Let me like show that I can trust you. If I just come out spilling all the tea, you know, in the words of Shan with Brad, how do I not know you're not going to spill all the tea about me? So I feel like it could leave, like, Deshaun could be 100% in with Evie, or he could be like, wow, she just gave me all this information.
Right.
Ain't nothing in life for free. So what's the catch? So I don't know.
Further, if you're sharing all this stuff with Deshaun, now he has a lot of power that can be used against you post
right.
Merge. So he can, if now she's on the Hot Mess tribe, if a few of them make it past the merge, Deshaun can then say, yo, she sold all y'all to me. Like, she gave me all of your dirt. How do you trust her? So I think Deshaun and his new knowledge is very powerful for him. I think opening up some of those doors is good from Evie, but man, she shared a lot with him.
No, for sure. And I feel like it could be their downfall.
I think, hot take, I think her sharing that information with Deshaun will be her downfall down the line.
I don't want to predict too much, but I agree. So she gets back to camp. Xander and Voce are feeling like, you know, Evie is with them. They're going to vote Tiffany, and you know, the Liana and Tiffany and Evie are like, listen, it's Xander. Now, however, Miss Tiffany. Okay. She was giving me a little Abby Maria a little bit. Ooh. Okay. Because she was like, no, what, I was cracking up. No, what's that weird thing Xander said at the tribal? How do I know it's not activated? No, mm-hmm. I mean, but here's the thing though. Although she was being paranoid, she was being smart though.
That, I'm not going to lie. That's real. That's
that,
real.
Like she was being smart, yep. But she was being paranoid because
they were like, we literally read the parchment. It's not activated.
Yeah,
it's
right. She's like, well, how do you know? How do you know?
Exactly.
It's literally like, Wendell, I read it. It's not.
How do you know?
Wendell.
You read, read it. Maybe you misread.
Right, right. You don't know. Maybe it's all that. Maybe the activation power is activated.
So yeah, she was doubling and triple checking, and like she was making sure that despite everyone being sure that it wasn't activated, she wanted to be 1,000% sure.
But also, and listen, Evie and Liana were over it. Almost mm-hmm. to the point where it was like, is Evie going to sway back to the boys? Now, this is also something that in my mind, I thought of Tiffany during this. And again, I understand your paranoia gets the best of you. But it really, for me, showed how much power Tiffany has in Liana and Evie. Mm. You know, because the fact that she was, one, able to switch the vote, the fact that, two, she's able to be that, like, paranoid with them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could be paranoid in my head and be standing right next to you and won't say a thing. But the fact that, like, she felt that comfortable with the girls mm-hmm. to be like, like, really kind of is like, she's comfortable with these girls.
Question. Tiffany is a very loyal ally to these women. So, one thing that I was talking to Dom about after
shout
our season. Shout out Dom. He was saying how it's important to relinquish power to someone else at certain points in the game and to not continually just flex your power at all times.
Okay.
So in this case, very early in the game, if an Evie and a Liana are just like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I mean, the three of us are strong. We're getting rid of Voce and Xander in any particular order as we go through the game. If we go to tribal, you know what? Let's throw Tiffany a bone. We'll go with her. She seems paranoid as ever right now. We'll go with her to stay safe. And it should pay dividends down the line because she is so locked in with us. So nope. maybe it's not Tiffany having such sway, but more so them like, you know what? She's bugging out right now. Let's just give her this one.
Let me ask you this.
Go on.
How many tribals we been at that Tiffany didn't get her way? Just food for thought. I'm just saying, I guess what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Did Tiffany get her way or Tiffany got away last tribal? Because I think.
No, she
was it Tiffany's way or was it?
Yes.
Was Evie like, nah, we're getting out?
No. Okay. Liana came and said that Abraham was coming for her. She said, you coming for me, I'm coming for you. So boom, she got Abraham out. Okay. She swayed the vote for Voce. And I just hope that this does not inflate Tiffany's confidence because it could be problematic moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, this tribe is the hot mess tribe.
Right. But we love Tiffany. I love watching her. But so, yes. So we get the tribal. Mm-hmm. Really not, you know, they edited really good early on. We knew it wasn't going to be Xander because, like, his name was just floating out there too early on.
I thought it could still be Xander.
I was hoping not, though. I was really hoping not. I was really hoping not.
Right. So we're in tribal. Jeff, what's up with Jeff's voice, Bryce?
Oh, my God.
What happened? What happened to it? He needed some lozenges or he needed some tea.
Have you ever seen, what's the movie with Lawrence Fishburne and Bumpy Johnson? I think it's Harlem Nights.
Godfather of Harlem?
No, Hoodlum. And there's this character on there that has a voice like this. His name was Whispus. That's who Jeff was giving me. When I was watching the episode, I wanted to throw a throat lozenger at Jeff.
Yeah, they could have hooked him up.
I wanted him to clear. I wanted him to let me clear my throat. Okay. I wanted him to drink some water. I wanted him to bequeath that frog in his throat. I wanted him to gargle with some salt water.
He needed it.
I wanted him to open up a coconut with a machete and drink the coconut milk. I wanted him to take the Beware Idol.
And do what with it?
And say the phrase and maybe it would clear his throat.
He needed a Ricola.
I wanted Jeff to go to No Choice Island and risk the vote.
For what?
To clear his throat.
He needed a Halls of Medicine.
Okay. Jeff needs some Robitussin.
He needed to take some fire tokens to CVS.
Okay. I don't know why, like, you ever hear somebody that, like, scratch their throat, like, you ever know somebody that do that? That, like, yep. Drives me insane. Somebody scratching on a scratch board, Jeff's voice. And the fact that, like, you're not going to address it.
He's the ultimate host. He just kept it moving.
Whew, I couldn't focus on nothing else. Okay.
So, yes. So Jeff is losing his voice, but he's soldiering on. He's muscling up. He's getting through it. And Tiff says, I think one of her quotes or something she said was she wanted to bank on her social alliances. Xander gets it when they go to vote. Xander gets in the booth and he gets a piece of paper that says, until all three idols have been found, you cannot vote. Head back to your seat.
And that was another thing that, like, again, why I would not reveal that to my alliance is that, like, it renders you powerless. If they think you have a vote,
mm-hmm.
at least you can still, like, I don't know. I guess it would be a hard lie to keep up. But, like, I don't know if I would share that. But again, he's with his closest alliances, allegedly. But sorry, continue. My
thought is I'm thinking about this. If this is the way that they get idols this season,
you can keep them.
No, this is good. This is
no, I'm good.
Think about how
put it
I,
back. No, I'm putting it back idols, in the tree. I don't want it.
Idols aren't raining on people. This is like you really need to do some work to get an idol right now. And it's contingent on other people. This isn't this isn't Tony just running around and all night and finding an idol. This isn't just contingent on a certain type of person finding an idol. This is, hey, if you find this, now there's an extra step and now it costs you something that is very expensive. It takes a very, it costs a very high price because you're losing your vote until the other people find it, which could be a while.
Right. And another thing that I love, okay, me a third boot, somebody first out, and I'm gonna say that all the time. One thing what I do love about that idol is that it really shakes it up. Because, like, you know, you could really think that you're going home, and the fact, like, it just really, like, it changes the probability of the option so much. And think about it. Like, also, you can get up there and roll a dice. And how much more rolling, like, you rolling the dice,
mm-hmm.
you don't even vote.
About so that dice. About right. that dice, though. Like, what's so expensive about this idol is not only does Xander have to put a target on himself by announcing things in front of all the castaways at the challenge, not only does he not have a vote that night on a tribe of five already, but he can't even, not only does he have an extra vote that he can't use in his pocket, but he can't roll his dice. He can't put his die in that bag because he lost his vote for that night. So
I didn't think about that.
You can't even barter your vote to have a 1-in-6 shot of remaining. So this idol might come at too much of a cost.
Right.
That's a lot.
Like, it's a lot. And like I said, I'm gonna put it back. Okay. You can have it.
There are no refunds, Bryce.
And I wonder if he really could just wrap it back up and put it back in the thing.
And rehide it?
And rehide it. I don't want it.
Yeah, it's a hefty price tag. And now that he can't vote, what happens if nobody finds the other idols?
Right. You go through the whole season. However, that also is something that you can put on your resume to build your resume up. If the fact that you can make it this far in the game without even having a vote. I'm just saying. So listen, I don't know what y'all think about 41, but I'm in it. Okay. I'm in it. And there are still so many characters that we haven't even got to see or to talk to. And so I don't know if that means they going deep, or I don't know if next week is they week, but one thing's for certain, two things for sure. You can catch up on Bryce and Wynn's take on Survivor 41. Wynn Deasy, thank you so much for coming and recapping episode 2 ? 3 with us.
We need to mention Voce was voted off.
Okay.
We're still getting the hang of this thing.
My bad.
So quickly, Voce was voted off. He was, I thought he could have been a cool, almost like villainous character this season. But sadly, his run was cut short. Voce's the third boot.
Okay. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with the third boot, Voce. It's greener on the other side.
Yes, yes, yes. But and then I had one more question for you before we wrap up, Bryce.
Okay.
What do you think about Hot Mess Yasa? Do you think they're gonna continue to get decimated? And do you think we will see will there be any swaps?
There absolutely. This is reminding me of Kagyan, Brain, Brawn, and Beauty. And Yasa is giving me Brain. And we know that did they go down to 3 people or 4 people? I think they will do another challenge. And if they lose after that challenge, I do think there will be a tribe swap. But I am curious to see what the tribe swap will be. Would it be a swapping and we're creating 2 tribes? But listen, they keep saying this is the hardest season ever. Mm-hmm. So, would we go keep it at 3? Like, I don't know what would happen. So it will be interesting to see. I'm definitely tuned and locked and loaded.
As am I.
For next week's episode. So you can catch us next week. It's Bryce and Wynn. We out.
Peace.
Keeping the menu rolling. Keeping the menu rolling. Keeping the menu rolling. Keep it rolling.
And we are back this week, okay, giving you the GVO with a little reasonably shady. Yes, we are back this week covering the Real Housewives of Potomac. And woo, do we have some bombshells to get to. So without further ado, I want to welcome my GVO girl, who also happens to be reasonably shady.
And I am also a low budget mama. So
that is true. That is very true. I believe when you came to Philadelphia and we spent like a week here, we went thrift store shopping and baby, you was racking up for the kids. So you would definitely be a low budget mama.
A LBM. Okay.
But listen, the lie detector test determined we seen the House Hunter episode. Okay. Anyway, yeah.
I mean, I'm low budget when it comes to some stuff, but some stuff, you know, I blow the budget on. But okay. Yeah, I mean, listen. Ain't nothing wrong with being low budget, baby. You can't look. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Listen. Go.
I feel a lot of kind of ways about.
First of all, I was like dreading recording this episode with you because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to walk back some things that I may have said months ago. And I don't even have time to get into it with you, but
Bang.
I am a man of my word. And if I'm wrong, I will say it. But
So many triggers for me in this episode. Like, I have never wanted to wade into a fight so much. But this low budget mama thing, it just got my effing goat.
Listen, let's start at reasonably shady. Robin and Giselle announced that they are having their podcast, and they decided to have it at Hotel Giselle.
On the patio. The patio of Hotel Giselle, you know.
The patio.
It's an indoor outdoor experience.
Okay. Listen, Bravo just be so shady with the like Why do y'all, like, first of all, because Bravo could have chose not to show her house at all. Like, you know, it really could have just showed where they had the event at on the side of her house, and it could have been cute.
Correct, but that is not in the storyline. Is everybody is talking about how they stepping over construction and cobblestones and such. So they couldn't ignore it. It was kind of funny. The setup was beautiful. So as much little shade as they throw about Hotel Giselle or whatever, her house is going to be beautiful,
right?
And listen, her little setup was cute.
I agree. And it's her home. She owns it. She not renting. She not going back and forth from Virginia to Maryland. You know, she's in Potomac. So I ain't mad at it. I did not agree with her when she was originally wanted to invite Lindsay and Karen and did not want to
tell them they had to pee in the bushes.
Chat. Well, first of all, you know, we are one to not be far strangers from popping a squat outside. Okay.
Correct. The Maqua dumps.
Okay. Wonk, wonk.
Right. But she was real wrong. But then it was funny because, you know, the other Green Eye Bandit talked her out of it. And then she had the nerve to mention it. Like, just shut the hell up,
right,
girl.
Right. Like, why? I'm like, Giselle being messy. Now, they announced that their podcast was picked up by, I think it was like Radio 1, TV 1, and then the Black Enterprise.
iHeartRadio.
Really successful. Okay, come on, listen. So Karen arrived, and listen, I might hate on the Grand Dame, but listen, if you are going to launch a candle, baby, you better have it ready when the cameras are rolling, and you better bring it to an event that all of the girls are there, and you better come up late, and you better be like, oh, I'm so sorry, but I wanted to give the installment of the Dame.
It's a rollout. It's a rollout.
I was here for the rollout, okay?
It was very nice. Exactly, because it's her whole room. Yes.
I loved the game that they played, Reasonable or Shady. I thought it was very clever. And I also thought it was great because, you know, a lot of the times people in their group circle, they say that, like, oh, you're talking behind my back or you're saying something behind my back. So I loved the idea of, like, bringing up different topics that maybe have caused a fight between the group and having the group decide. I really liked that discussion-esque, although it was, like, somewhat shady, but I liked the fact that it's like, okay, we're going to do it in front of your face. What are your thoughts?
So I really liked the game. I thought it was cute. I thought it kept it, you know, very light and casual and gave people an opportunity to say how they felt about things that had come up without arguing, rehashing the situation over again. So I liked it.
Right. My only critique was that I wish Giselle would have given an example about her life. It seemed like, you know, we went on Wendy, and I feel like I wish she would have had a question if you take your baby daddy back and he does you wrong, is it reasonable for your girls to talk about it, or is it shady? Like, I wish she would have, like, you know, because the critique on Giselle is that she is always in everybody's business and none about her own. And I think that although this game was really great and constructive, I think that element was missing.
Yes, but she's not that forward thinking to think about. I mean, let's be honest. Come on now. She ain't trying to do all that. That required too much damn thought. Come on. Get on that. Yeah.
And it, for me, just really, towards the end, they brought up the Wendy situation about, like, if there are cheating rumors, is it reasonable or shady? And of course, Wendy got very defensive, and Wendy and Robin got into it. And, I just really think that Wendy doesn't have necessarily a reason to be mad at Robin, but because Robin is Giselle's best friend, Wendy's just throwing her shade. And I don't like that, because for me, it shows me, like, Wendy, you're not as secure as, like, you want to show the world, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally getting tired of... And this is what Wendy does, is that basically she just try to go hard on everybody so nobody says anything to her. That, like, it just gets old. So that's my thing. It gets old. And I agree with Robin that, like, it's to the point where nobody can even say anything to her. And it's very annoying.
Yeah, like Zenwin ain't a friend of Zenwin. Candace was late to the reasonably shady party. However, I believe a question might have been asked, is it rude or not to ask someone's mom about the finances? So the girls were rehashing it and Candace came in. They said that they were talking about it. And Candace and Mia get into it back and forth a little bit. Mia called her
event low budget because it was.
It was.
It was. And ain't nothing wrong with it. Sorry. Ain't nothing wrong with being low budget. It was. So
I mean, I could see how and why Candace would get offended by it, but it's like, okay. And then Candace ultimately goes in and says that Mia's mom is low budget. Now, we'll kind of sort of table that because that is for GVO. But what was interesting to me during this reasonably shady was that Mrs. Escala seemed that she just finally found her voice. And it seems like Miss Escala takes a lot of her frustration out
name like that.
Because like I was on the fence of Mrs. Scala. Okay. Like, you know, I wasn't sure how I felt about her, but I think on the reasonably shady episode, I made up my mind that I don't like a Scala because I feel like she's going extremely hard in the direction of Wendy. And I feel like, well, why don't you carry that same energy towards Giselle or Robin? Like, it's like you're going after an easy target, and I don't like that.
She's Robin's friend. Did you not read the caption?
I mean, listen, child, anybody could be anybody's friend when it comes to these shows. Ex Portia and her current fiance.
They was more than friends, honey. But yeah, so they don't give Escala any character development. So you never know what she's doing or why, even though we did find out that Escala has two kids under two, two, I think. Right. But like they give her no character development. So like, I just don't even pay attention to her.
Yeah.
I can't I can't because I don't know what the hell she's talking about or why she there or, you know, so she just be saying stuff randomly and she does look cute all the time.
No, I will give her that. She does look cute. But I also feel like maybe, and mind you, this is like, you know, my own hypothesis, is that I feel like at this point in the season, I think Escala might have realized they might
that she wasn't going to make it.
Like they might be they might be promoting, like, you know, because at this point when they're all you know, I've told you this before, at this point when they're all like filming, they don't make a decision as to who is going to be considered a housewife or a friend of the show. But and like literally they find out weeks before the show airs. So
yeah, and like I guess Survivor, when they don't make the final decision whether you made the cast or not until they ready to leave the plane. Right.
Very much so. But I'm feeling like at this point, Escala may have had some inclination that they were going with Mia. Because it just seems like you come in hot, real heavy for no reason. And so any comments?
Yeah, I think she, I think I agree. I think she knows at this time that she's not going to be on the show. But, you know, she's doing her best. She rustled up her little boyfriend for the boo trip, you know?
Yeah, husband. I ain't mad, you know.
Is that her husband? See, I didn't even know that.
I read the caption. Continue to play your role, Escala. Okay. Continue to clap back on Twitter because she do be clapping back at the girls on Twitter. But here's my thing, baby. Beef does not land you a housewife status. So keep it cute, Escala, and maybe you could come back as a friend of the show next season. Anyway, now, because she got me real hot and we about to go into GVO, good vibes only, but it's really good vibes obscute.
I really didn't even pay that much attention to Escala. Like, she's totally background for me.
Oh, okay. Listen.
Sorry. So, she don't even merit nothing.
Ooh, okay. Well, lastly, before we close out on reasonably shady, Wendy extends a trip to the ladies, a couple's trip. And we clearly know this is targeted at Giselle and it's a get back at Giselle. And it's very obvious. And for me, I don't like that. Like, it's like, I mean, I get it because, I mean, it is reasonably shady, so I can't be mad. Like, you know, if people want to get dirty, you got to play on their level field. So actually, when I think about it, I ain't mad at this somewhat of a power move that Wendy pulled to have a couple's vacation, and she invites all the girls, and you know, she says everyone's husbands, and then when it gets to Robin, I think she says like, your partner or if Juan is available, and for Giselle, she's like, you'll be there with your suitcase.
I don't see the problem.
So
what's the problem?
Okay, listen.
And what's the problem?
You know what it's given. But so we start this episode GVO. Okay. They getting ready to go on a trip. Mind you, Giselle then sent a message in the group chat that basically was like, mind you, and when she was reading it out loud, it didn't sound like she proofread it, okay? Because mind you, her friend that was doing her hair was like, you said it?
Yeah, he was like, okay. That was funny.
She says she does not feel welcome from the host and she's not going. Wendy does not respond. Zen Wen responds. And Zen Wen says some Zenny Wenny type stuff. Like, the purpose of the trip is for love and life and we want all of the girls to get along. We hope to see you there. And child, Robin, first of all, Robin this whole season been real hot on these group text messages, okay?
I kind of like Robin and her fire on the group message. But, like, honestly, Giselle shouldn't have come. The girl was real damn rude in inviting her. And I can see why she didn't want to come.
Right.
Sounds right to me.
Robin said, thanks for coming to the Reasonably Shady podcast launch. Enjoy your trip, ladies.
So, that's it.
We see Candace. First of all, another shady thing that Bravo has done this season. I'm not sure if anyone else has picked up on it, but y'all know I pick up on all the reasonably shady edits. And this reasonably shady edit comes to Candace's husband, Chris. Anytime that we see Chris, that he has been in their new home, he's always drinking. And they do a very interesting way of, like, if y'all go back and rewatch this episode, when we first see Candace and Chris, they zoom in on his glass for like 4 seconds.
And I did not notice that.
Yes.
But that is interesting.
Think about it. Remember when Dot called on the first episode? What was Chris doing? And she was like, drinking?
Maybe the man just like to have a nice cocktail.
It's foreshadowing. And whenever they bring up his drinking, they always say, you drinking this early? So I really do feel like the editing is somewhat playing into the storyline of, dare I say, riding the coattails, or like, you know, quitting your job that Dot spilled the tea on a couple of episodes back. But Candace and Chris divulge into this conversation where Candace says that, oh, you know, Mia said my video was low budget, and you know, she would have the nerve to ask my mom whether or not you're on the payroll.
So let me know when I can talk about Candace.
Okay, go ahead, because like, okay.
Okay, so first of all, like, she gets her panties in a knot about everything. She act like Mia was the one, but you can see clearly it was Dot talking to everybody.
Okay.
And then Dot talking about, I don't really know what I said.
Okay.
Dot, favorite freaking conversation. So don't blame that girl. And again, what it is you can't talk to your mama like that because she slap you upside your mouth with a freaking purse.
Ooh.
So,
and remember who said that last? Remember who said that last season?
Right. Mm. Right. So you taking out the anger that is misplaced that you want to put on your mama. And
dare I say,
on her.
Projection? Ooh. Projection? Oh,
that little projection. Look, the two things that kind of just bothered that bothered the hell out of me was her projection, her talking about the low budget mama and couldn't get off of that, and then telling the girl she needed to go to therapy. I'm like, oh my God, this is all you projecting.
Yes.
I was like, you have mama issues. So, A, when people talk about your mom, they're not talking about your mom.
They're talking about the mom that they know.
No, okay. Not only that, but I'm saying, like, when she was, when that lady brought up your mom, or when anybody bring up Candace's mom, they never say dot a hoe, a dot this, a dot
right.
that. They're talking about the relationship that you have with your mom. Your mom pays for stuff. That's not insulting your mom. That's insulting you. Okay. And she took it there. And because she has run out of words, because it hurts her so deeply, and she does not know what to do. Every insult she lobbies is actually one of her insecurities. Wide ass, wide feet,
big
wide
feet.
Face,
and mind you, let me tell you something that bothers me about that big feet comment. I really feel like it is, and I don't know whether or not she is actually meaning this, but tell me if you feel like I'm like stretching, but I really feel like when she says those comments to Mia, I really feel like transphobic from Candace. Like, I really feel like
she's trying to say, oh, you're not womanly. You're not womanly and because you have big feet. And
you're big.
So what? So what? First of all, I'm low budget and I got big feet and I ain't never, you know, had anything to do with me being a woman or not. So that's the thing, because she is tiny and she is petite, that's the attributes that she puts on it. But all the things that she says, and then she's always just jumping to these low cuts.
Yeah.
Like, it's can like, we gear it's, up to yes. the low cuts? Jesus.
I feel you, but let's gear up to this fight. And before we even get back, sorry, I gotta go real quick back to Reasonably Shady. Another favorite part of Reasonably Shady's podcast event was Karen Huger. Baby, she had just got her vaccine.
Her vaccination.
Okay.
Girl, and, she was loopy.
It was the editing for me. So I just had to mention that because that was hilarious.
Not only that, but I'd like to sign up for my Karen Huger drunk call.
Okay, listen. Listen, you get a spicy, bricey drunk call every now and then again. So
that
I think
is
that
true,
you,
and I love
that. I think that you are more than well with that, okay? Because, baby, during this pandemic, with my happy hours on the porch, okay,
I'll
be calling
call you
my
on
phone
Friday
list.
Afternoon because I know it's something going on. What you do? I'm bringing in my plans.
Oh, and then be like, wait. did we talk on Friday?
Yes, we did. You told me you were bringing in your plans.
No, I was. Yes, I had a couple cocktails and I brought in my house plants. Yes. That's funny because I did not remember talking to you because, I was baby with no lip.
I know. That's what made it good.
that actually is hilarious because I'm like, wait, what are you talking about Friday? We didn't talk Friday. No, but we actually did. Okay. So back to this shady trip, GVO. Okay. Wendy and her husband arrived first. Next is Mia and G. And baby, if last time that we talked about Real Housewives of Potomac, baby, if we had dot on our tip of our tongues, baby, this week is Jay.
Look, these friends and these extracurricular people they be bringing in just be making the show. Because G, first of all, I love G's spirit. He's very reminiscent of Thomas Peter before he started getting into women's business.
Patricia, before he became Patricia.
Right.
You stay in these women's business. Stop acting like a...
Okay. That is classic. Okay, but I love that G is self-secure. That it is clear that somebody is trying to get his goat and, you know, talk. And he could, you know what? He feels like his woman can understand himself. I love their relationship. I love the security of their relationship. And it's just funny to see other people like try to tear them down. But honey, they know what they got. Okay.
I mean, allegedly. So here's the thing. G reminds me of my stepdad, not in all of those ways, he reminds me of my stepdad in the sense of like when you meet them, they are one way. And like for the most part, they are. But like, you know, my favorite part of the holidays with my mom and John is, listen, we like to turn up. We like to take shots, like, you know, and John turns into this like party animal that is the similarities that I see in G and John. However, G was making me uncomfortable.
I'm coming to Christmas over.
Yes. Listen, we throw it down. Okay. One year, I swear for Jesus. First of all, my mom drunk me to bed. Okay. First, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning that I tiptoe up the steps, and literally my mom came upstairs and was like, "You want to take another shot?" I'm like, "Girl.
Oh, I got
no.
Bar.
I got a title with bar." And then it was crazy because that was 4 o'clock. The next morning at like 9 o'clock, she downstairs cooking breakfast. I'm like, "Oh, honey. Miss Mama's." Barb was definitely giving Karen Huger that night. Yes, but that's like random. Our holiday traditions is like, we literally, like, me, my mom, and John, around Christmas Eve or like the night before Christmas Eve, because we always have a big party. We take shots and we play old music. Like, we play The Whispers. We play Gladys Knight. We play The Supremes. We play Phyllis Hyman. And it's like literally like we all be jamming. And John always be like, because I always took my phone up to his Bluetooth speaker that he has. He's always like, how do you do that? How you, John? So then it's like he always
told
me.
John's trying to be hip to the technology. Okay, right. Don't be messing with John.
Play Frankie Beverly Bryce. I'm like, oh God. But anyway, they all be jams. Anyway, back to G. He was letting loose. It was getting very much uncomfortable. But it's the irony for me. And the fact that, okay,
I'm listening because I thought
listen to this setup that I'm about to tell you. Okay, so Mia is there with her husband. G's cutting up. Everybody's finding it somewhat funny. Every time a new person comes in, then Candace and Chris came in. They were cutting up. We know that Candace was being shady, throwing little slide marks in there, but whatever. Then a scholar showed up, and they all kept warning that G's drunk. But how funny is it that they went upstairs, Ascala, Candace, and Wendy, and all started talking about G. Now, isn't this ironic that at the, what we say, low-budget video shoot, when Mia was talking to your mother, they couldn't do that. But you guys can go upstairs and have a Ponderosa about G. And like, it's looking very hypocritical to me. What do you think?
I didn't like that little powwow. I thought that maybe they tried to take Candace aside to tell her to shut the F up about saying it about her mom. Right. But the thing was, like, and this is where really just like she turned me all the way off. Is that like, no, both her and Wendy, and I think she's trying to copy herself after Wendy. Nobody can get a word out. And it's very annoying. Very annoying that you can't even get a word out without them getting so nasty and defensive.
Yeah. And kudos to Mia, because although I know everything that...
Sorry.
Okay, listen. I know that although she is saying very hurtful things and Mia is letting it roll off of her back, I know that it bothers her. So I just have to say a kudos to her, because during that bedroom scene, like, you know, she let it roll off. She kept it cute. She kept it smiling. Like, you know, at every chance, she continued to try to let it roll off her back. And this is where my point of it really is bringing me back to Monique Samuels last season.
Oh my God. And so that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, this is why you got drugged. I hate to condone any kind of physical violence.
Is.
This is why you got your ass drugged all up and down.
It is. And you know what?
And this is why Karen was not on your side and them other people wasn't on your side. Because I'd have been like, you know, yeah, she shouldn't have hit you. But guess what? Shut the fuck up.
Right. And it's funny because Monique kept saying to her, you're going to meet somebody who's like, you know what I mean? And it's like literally she's doing the exact same thing that she did to Monique to Mia. However, Mia isn't going to give her what she wants. So Candace feels like, oh, I can rah. But I was really just being like, oh, do I need to walk back everything that I said about Monique? Because literally when then the conversation escalated to the kitchen and, you know, go get your pimp, go get Nightwalker. First of all, now you are throwing jabs at actual, first of all, you know, people are actually sex workers. And like,
that's what I was going to say. That's how, first of all,
that is a legitimate occupation.
So that also pissed me off. Like, who are you to judge other people and what they do to make money? Like, it's a lot of people who don't agree with what you do on TV to make money and think it's sleazy or whatever, but that is your right. So don't try to downplay. So what? She was a stripper. So what if somebody is a sex worker? That's their choice. And that also pissed me off. She didn't understand. So I want to say that she is so naive and inexperienced that she didn't realize that she basically tore her ass with a lot of people. Like, you don't, you know, saying low budget, saying sex worker, night walker, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Go get your pimp.
Right. You know what? First of all, human trafficking is not a joke.
Okay.
Not funny.
Okay.
So, because pimps be beating people ass. Okay.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. And it's not a joke. These are these, you know, girls who are out here 15 years old who have no choice and are on the street and are controlled by a pimp. And I know this is supposed to be like light entertainment.
No. I was taking it there too. It was just really irking. And like the fact that these women, i.e. Zen Wen, i.e. Karen, let this beratement go on for so long.
Well, I think they tried to jump in, but this is the thing. The point is, when you go there and when you go deep and when you go hard, a lot of times you get very inappropriate. So the fact that Wendy and Lil Mama drive back is sitting up here, you know, throwing these things out that are homophobic, that are racist, that are classist, that are just, you know, stank topics to pinch upon, to touch upon. You just need to stay away from them. And right. The fact that that's your go-to all the time just makes you look like an asshole.
And they keep trying to say, Mia, oh, all you do is talk about business. All you do, like, excuse me, like, y'all mad at that? And like Mia said, what about women empowerment? And Miss Escala, girl, another opportunity you going at
oh
Mia.
Yeah, because talking like, about that she's called them something bitches or something. But this is the thing, I at this point in time, Mia has like taken it so much
on
so
the chin. So
because she is just trying to like walk it off, and she says a little snide comment, give her that, because she done been called everything but a child of Jesus up in this thing. Her family has been insulted, so I'll let that slide. See, that's the thing, if you say an asshole thing every once in a while, I can let it slide. If every time something come out of your mouth it's an asshole, transphobic, racist thing, then no, I can't let it slide. Guess what? That's no longer just you getting mad, that's your fucking personality.
Okay. And Miss Escala, if I recall back at the last trip, I think you tried to call Giselle and Robin out for ganging up or body shaming Wendy. So I think it's so ironic, Escala, that you would sit on that bedroom when Wendy just brought up, you know, she didn't tell them, but she brought up the sensitive topic about Mia's mom. And y'all still wanted to berate her. Miss Escala, friend right, of the show.
Y'all should have been giving that lady hugs and been like, you know, that bitch is wrong. That's what they should have been doing. And like, this episode actually just pissed me off.
Yeah, it really triggered me because I don't condone violence. Listen, I don't condone violence.
I'd have to leave.
Listen, I've been one known to toss a salad or two, but let's just say this. Candace would have got more than a salad tossed in her face if she would have kept saying, my mama. And you could see the change in Mia when Mia was like, okay, I'm getting ready to go to the next level. And thank God it was Mia Thornton and not Monique Samuels, because we all saw what happened when you took Monique to that place and the barn. Drag me, and you got dragged. Now, mind you, I'm still a fan of Candace. And what I will say is, the last two episodes, every time Candace has come into the picture, it's really been
very freaking messy. I can't even believe you playing her song.
Listen, because it's called Cause a Scene. And when I was listening to the words, I actually think in this song, she's taking shots at Mia. But yeah, Candace, Candace, this was not a great episode for you. And like you said before, it's your personality. Like this is a pattern.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pattern. And then it's just so funny to her to hear her say, you need to go to therapy. You're projecting with that stupid projecting hand motion. Like, at this point in time, I don't really see anything of value that Candace is bringing to the show except Dot.
Eh, what? True. I mean, she is very Cynthia Bailey-esque. And we all know the announcement has been made that Cynthia Bailey, you know, she wrote this long, beautiful letter. After much prayer and thought, she has decided that she is not returning this next season. Girl, they didn't extend your contract. Okay? Like, let's call the thing a thing. And we know Portia.
After prayer and some reflection.
Okay, girl. Girl, just lucky you've been on here for 10 years, okay? Because like Nene said 6 years ago.
Oh, my. Yeah, I think, I don't know. For me, Atlanta hasn't been pulling its weight in a minute.
It hasn't. And mind you, I know this is a Real Housewives of Potomac talk, but baby, I saw a tweet the other day from Kim... daughter Brielle Bierman. She said, no Nene, no Phaedra, no Kim. What's the point of R-H-O-A? And listen, not one lie was told.
I liked Phaedra. She kept it interesting. Oh, you're right. All those three people kept it interesting.
What's the point? Like, we're expecting Candy to carry the show with, like, you know, I'm good on Atlanta. Been good on Atlanta since last year. But anyway, back to Real Housewives of Potomac.
Next week, we find out what happened with the tossing of the salads.
Oh.
Whose salad got tossed?
Oh. And it looks in the previews as though Giselle and Robin show up. It looks like they was like, you know what? We not going to let Wendy cut us out of camera time. Because I don't know.
Because you know
their contracts be set up by episodes.
Okay. I was about to say, don't show up, don't get paid.
Well, listen,
No
call, no show. But, you know, they do get, you know, they are contracted per episode. So if you don't appear in an episode for a certain amount of time, you don't get paid. And that is a lot of the drama surrounding housewives. You hear, like, the bigger named housewives, like, be like, oh, I'm not filming with her.
I hate when they say that.
You know, and
it's deeper, cut them out.
Right. And it's deeper than that. They're really trying to get at their pockets.
Yes. Because if you have no content, then they have nothing to choose from.
Listen, and you know who's famous for doing that? Miss Kenya Moore. But anyway, listen, Real Housewife of Potomac is heating up. I'm so glad that we are covering this. Yeah, I had the same type of reaction towards this episode that you did. Yeah.
I think you're saying that I was right.
I didn't say that. I said I had the same type of reaction that you did.
Well, I hope next episode we see more G, who's a cool cucumber. And I just love the vibe of the husbands. I have to say that. So I hope that husbands stay out of women folk business. Listen. And keep their vibe super cool.
And there will be no more husbands cooler than when it was Greg Leakes, Pita, Apollo. Yeah. And was there anybody else? And Todd. That for me.
Oh, I like them. I did like them.
That they were the cool people, in my opinion.
I liked them. I thought they were cool husbands. I think Apollo was sort of a hothead, but he had bigger issues going on. And I felt like actually the husbands were a good influence on him.
Oh, and Apollo, yes. And I love the fact that like Peter and Apollo are still friends. And I think, you know, at Greg's homecoming or celebration of life at Lanithia Lounge a couple of weeks ago, Apollo and his current fiance, who happens to be from Philly. Mm-hmm. So Apollo spends like 50% of his time in Philly. They were at the celebration of life. And so was Phaedra. I was like, ooh, I wonder what that dynamic would have been like. Mm-hmm. Just the stuff that I'd be thinking about. But all right, tune into us in 2 weeks and we will give you another breakdown.
Yes. And before we go, I just want to say, oh my gosh, Big Brother, Black winner. Hello. So shout out to Big Brother.
Representation matters.
Yes. So I can't wait to talk about this more on our next episode. Thanks for having me on the Purple Pants Podcast.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? happy.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And you know, listen, with Survivor back on, you know, everybody live tweeting, everybody on Instagram. Child, I try to be on live tweeting, you know, drinking my Tito's. And I be like, ooh, this is something good. Let me tweet it. And then 20 minutes, I go and look at it. And child, I didn't spell four things wrong. I don't know what it is with me. I just like when I get excited and I'm live tweeting, baby boy don't proofread at all. So listen, if y'all follow me on the Twitters, y'all know, y'all be like, ooh, baby boy, that don't even make sense. But you knew what I meant. But so this week, Freak of the Week, okay? I don't know if she's ever been Freak of the Week, but listen, the Freak of the Week is none other than my Survivor idol, Miss Ceree Fields, okay? And if you follow Ceree on the Instagram at Ceree_Fields, listen, you know when Survivor on, Ceree don't live tweet, okay? She live video. And, you know, she always is giving her hot takes on Survivor on her Instagram main page. And so I always crack up because, listen, I love the queen. The queen can't do nothing wrong. But it was hilarious. After the first episode aired, the 2-hour premiere, I guess her son Pooh, shout out to Pooh, because you know he a rapper too. So listen, if you like rap, go stream Pooh. I think it's like Pooh Honey or something, Ceree's son. He must have called her, okay, or text her and was like, Mom, you flooding everybody Instagram stories with these posts. So then the next day, Ceree made a video saying like, listen, guys, Pooh is telling me I need to put these to my story and not my main page because I'm flooding everybody's IG feel. So she had a poll. But listen, Ceree, you is Freak of the Week because listen, I live for Ceree Fields to flood my Instagram. So I vote continue to post it on your main page because listen, that's you. It's authentic to yourself. Okay. I mean, listen, you could do it on a story. That wouldn't hurt. Or you could go live and just talk the whole episode. But listen, it's because it's how you've been doing it. I love it. So continue. Okay. So listen, this week when Survivor comes on and Ceree start posting on videos to her Instagram page at Ceree_Fields, I need y'all to tag the baby boy and put the hashtag Freak of the Week. And y'all going to see why. Cause Ceree is a legend and a queen. And I loves me some Ceree Fields. If Ceree is the Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing episode. Thank you guys so much for always tuning in each Tuesday to see what's going on with your baby boy. But listen, if you have not already, please make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. Okay. We're available on all podcast streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcast from. We are there. Hit the subscribe button, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars, and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that listen, we are butterflies. Cause it's the
Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.